Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
This Lent, we have a sermon series on the people and events of Jesus's last week alive. And we start today with Mary of Bethany. This is Mary and Martha, that group. And there's a custom here that may seem very strange to us. And as I read this, this is where Mary comes forward during the meal and kneels down and pours ointment on Jesus' feet and then wipes it in with her hair. And if you've been to the museum and you've seen statues of the women from antiquity, you'll notice they all have their hair up. Not down like we do. All the women had their hair up. So to have someone with hair down, pouring ointment on someone's feet, is strange to us. But in the culture of the day, this is an expression of just extreme grief. And though we may not understand the custom, I think we can see, we can feel the emotion that's packed up there. This is the reading from the Gospel of John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of the people at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, that's N-A-R-D, a very expensive perfume, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, he had his hand in the till. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. And I think you just have to read the Gospels to know Jesus' concern for the poor. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. There's a true story of a man in New York City who was kidnapped, and the kidnappers wanted $100,000 in ransom. And she was able to get them down to $30,000. And everything worked out fine. The man was returned safe and sound. The kidnappers were caught. The money was returned. But I wonder what this man must have thought when he found out that he was returned at a discount price. And Calvin Trilling sort of used his imagination of the conversation that must have gone on between this wife and the kidnappers. And he imagined it something like this. You must be out of your mind, $100,000. For that guy? Look at that tummy. Just look at that belly. 30,000 is as high as I'm going. I don't know. Some of you may identify with the wife there. Do you? I identify with the husband. And I'd like to think that my wife, though she's an expert negotiator, you should see her in an Oriental bazaar. She's a whiz. But I'd like to think that if I were kidnapped, she wouldn't be negotiating for a lower price for me. You know, she'd pay for whatever it took to get me back. No discussion. Sometimes, it's okay to be extravagant, right? Sometimes. In the account today, Jesus and his disciples were just about to enter into Jerusalem and to this time when the vice really comes down on him. And it's always struck me as fascinating that before he goes into that vice, what does he do? He goes and visits his old friends in Bethany. Bethany's just a stone's throw away from Jerusalem. And there a meal is served. And you know Martha's there. What's Martha doing? Remember, she was the one banging the closet doors, cabinet doors. You know, I need some help in the kitchen. She's serving. During the course of the meal, Mary, and you remember Mary, she's the one who sits at Jesus' feet. She comes up and around the table and gets down on her knees and takes a flask and breaks the stem of it. And this flask contains nard, N-A-R-D, which is a very precious perfume. It would be like a year's wage for somebody. Very extravagant now. And she takes this nard and she anoints Jesus' feet with it and then takes her hair and rubs the nard into his feet. A very extravagant act, but I think we can feel also the just sheer distraught feeling in this woman. Sometimes it's okay to be extravagant. Now, I think most of us were brought up was that being extravagant was a bad thing, right? That's what we were all taught. And in some cases, and in a lot of cases, that's probably true. You know, you think of the Kardashians and the extravagance. You think of, drugs and alcohol and the destructive power to extravagance there. But on the other hand, can you think of times when extravagance might be good? When it might be appropriate. I was thinking, of course, Mary here is just overwhelmed with grief. But I think mixed in with that, there are also other emotions. And I think some examples that come to me where extravagance might be okay. And that is when it comes to love. Sometimes, extravagance is very appropriate when it comes to love. Now, do you remember back in high school? Do you remember the high school rings. You had to have a high school ring, or you were out of it. And then you never wore it again. But they cost about, in my time, maybe $30, a little bit more. Now they're going to hundreds. And I had to work for mine. And I remember my mother saying, "Now, don't give some girl that ring you worked so hard for. Because that's what you did, you know." And I said, "Mom, don't worry about that." You know, in about 2 weeks, that ring was on a chain around some girl's neck. I think too, you know, Valentine's Day or certain special holidays in the family, love sort of has its own way. You don't go to McDonald's to celebrate Valentine's Day. But I don't know what's big here. You go to, I remember the Curtis House in the old days. I don't know what it's like today. You go to, what is it? Olive Tree? That's another one, yeah. You do something special. Love, you know, gets carried away, doesn't it? Sometimes it's okay to be extravagant. And in Jesus's case, visiting this home, Mary is the theologian. She's the one who puts all the dots together. She knows what's going on. She knows Jesus is walking into a death trap. That's why the grief. That's why this feeling of loss, powerful, powerful stuff. She's the one who puts it together. The others have no idea what's going on. And even the disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, all these guys, they're curiously insensitive to what's taking place. You know, Jesus says, "I'm going up to Jerusalem to die." And what are they doing? They're debating among themselves on who's the head raccoon here. Who's the big shot here? Strangely out of place. And that's where this scene comes, where she comes forward with that flask of nard and puts it on Jesus' feet and takes down her hair, something in the ancient world, very significant. She takes down her hair and rubs Jesus' feet with it. Extravagant? Yes. But sometimes love is extravagant, isn't it? There's a place for it there. There's another part of this grief, and I think that there's gratitude mixed in. And sometimes I think it's okay to be extravagant in gratitude. And you'll have to remember that Mary's brother, Lazarus, was healed by Jesus, brought back to life. He has meant a lot. She knows that he's going to lay down his life for all of them. There's a lot to be thankful in that act of grief. There's an amusing story that I think those of you... How many have adult children who live far away? Okay. I think you might appreciate this. At least I did. This is a situation where you have the mother and father living down in Florida, the older mother and father. The son, adult son, lives here in Connecticut. His sister is out in Chicago, okay? And the father down in Florida calls the son in Connecticut and says to him, "Your mother and I are getting a divorce. We just can't take it anymore. 45 years. No more." And the son gets all upset. "Dad, you can't do this." And the father says, "Can you tell your sister? It's hard for me to say it, but you know, we've both figured the time is up." So the son calls the sister out in Chicago and tells her, "Mom and Dad are getting a divorce." And the daughter out in Chicago says, "Dad can't do this. No way. He can't get away with this." So she calls him and she tells him, "You know, Dad, what are you up to? You can't do this. We're coming down tomorrow. I'm going to call Joe in Connecticut, and we're coming down tomorrow. And don't you do anything until we're there. You're not going to get away with this." At this point, the father puts down the phone, turns to his wife, and says, "Well, it's all settled. The kids are coming for Thanksgiving, and they're going to pay their own way." I remember those days, yes. Yeah. But, yeah, and it's a great story. But it somehow misses the point of Thanksgiving, doesn't it? Thanksgiving isn't the clutch fist. It's not being stingy. Thanksgiving requires a giving of yourself. Gratitude. You just do it almost naturally. And that's what I think we see Mary of Bethany doing as part of this act. Gratitude requires sometimes extravagance, doesn't it? Can you see that in your own life at some point? So we've got love, we've got gratitude. I think another area where I believe that extravagance may be okay sometimes is generosity. And Jim Moore tells a story about a Native American tribe down in Mississippi. And this tribe was a small tribe, and it lived right next to a very fast-flowing river. And this was a river that was very dangerous. If a child got in, the child would just be swept away. Very dangerous river. And they were attacked by a larger tribe, a heavily armed tribe. They were just overwhelmed by this tribe. And they only had one way of escape, and that was this treacherous river. The only way out was to get across that river. And they held a council on to how they were going to do this, because you could die crossing that river. What were they going to do with the children, the elderly, the sick? You know, logic would say you leave them behind. They're going to die anyway. But they said, "No, we can't do that. Those who are well, those who are strong, will carry the others across the water." And it's interesting, that extra weight they were carrying gave them traction. This was something they hadn't anticipated. That extra weight gave them a foothold as they were crossing that fast-moving river. and they escaped. Generosity, the extravagance sometimes, can end up saving lives. I think Mary of Bethany, and again, it's fascinating. She's the one who puts it all together. The others are completely oblivious to what's going on. She puts it together. She knows Jesus is walking into that death trap. And I think today, as we begin Lent, we remember God's love on a hill called Golgotha. And we remember, too, how this woman responded to that love with extravagance, very appropriately. And I think she is a lead for us in our own conduct to be sensitive to what someone else may be going through and to realize that love and gratitude and generosity, sometimes at least, can be extravagant. Amen.